Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Mark Rust on the podcast. Mark is a creative strategist, narrative provocateur, and founder of Consequently Creative. He's built a career on helping organizations stop sounding like everyone else and start sounding like themselves, boldly, clearly, and for goodness sakes, with a pulse. Mark, so excited to have you here. This is going to be such a good episode.
Awesome, Adam. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I know that you primarily will work with private equity companies. So what have you seen has been the biggest win for private equity companies post-acquisition if they prioritize branding first?
Well, it puts them in a really, really, really great spot. It allows them to alleviate a thing that we call acquisition turbulence. When you get acquired by a new company, there's always turbulence, right? So meaning same as on a plane, right? When there's turbulence, some people are okay with it. Other people are not okay with it. Like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? What's going to change, right? I've got a new boss. The company's changing direction. There's a lot of uncertainty there and it's risky and it doesn't feel good for people. But if you go in there and you start communicating effectively, telling people what they stand for, why they're such a remarkable company, crafting all of that, then you're going to get that internal alignment. And for a private equity company post-acquisition, that means everything. Because internal alignment means clear strategy, means a clearer path forward.
Absolutely. And what have you seen, I guess, from customers, right? So when you go ahead and you start doing a rebrand, I'm sure there's something that happens to the current client base that's there. Do they usually get excited for the rebrand? Is you start seeing some customers start dropping off, the ones that you don't want, for example, or what actually usually happens during that process?
Well, it's always a mix of things. You know, I mean, again, clarity is always better than being clever, right? Meaning, you know, some clever way of spinning something together with your own internal jargon, that's never going to resonate the way you intend it to resonate. So be absolutely clear. In a lot of cases, when we do a rebrand and we do an update, it's really about bettering that company and bringing it to market with a fresh, fresh look and feel and a fresh position. It's not just the look. We're not just doing the cover of the book. We're also doing the insights. Like, what do they stand for? What's new about them? How are they addressing the market? And then ultimately, how are they claiming a corner of the market that they can have as their own and start building authority in?
So what you're saying here, and let me get this right, because this is interesting what you're saying. You're actually saying the branding is mostly for the internal team. It's not necessarily for the external people. I mean, but if you have the internal team, that full rebranding and people going towards it. Am I correct about that?
Well, no. Branding is definitely for anybody who witnesses a company, okay? Yes, you need to have it. Internally, you need to have branding that provides alignment, right? Externally, you need to have branding that provides a clear message, okay? And by the way, this is brand strategy, right? Brand strategy is not fluff. It's the operating system that keeps your company consistent with what it stands for.
I get that. Okay, that makes sense. So when you start working with the client then, what are the actual steps that you'll typically take them through?
It typically starts with the brand audit, where we get in there, we get our hands dirty, we understand what they stand for today and what they look like today. Beyond that, we want to understand who their audience is and who the audience that they want to go after is. Then we look at their business objectives. And with that, we want to make sure, okay, now that we understand your business objectives, how are we going to make it so your audience and your business objectives come together? What's the strategy there, right? And that's where the magic comes. It might be messaging. It might be, you know, changing directions, having something new to say. And then finally, we really say, okay, how are we going to do that? Now that we have the strategy, what's the technology? Are we going to use AI? Are we going to redo the website? What have you, you know?
Absolutely. So when you're going ahead and you're working with these clients, or actually let's take a step back. Before you start working with them, is there a way that you can know before you start looking at, say, companies' P&L or internal systems that maybe their brand isn't doing them a service?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just the best way to understand if their brand isn't doing them a service is, first off, is just what's the vibe of the company. Sometimes, you know, the culture isn't that great. Many times the idea of branding or creativity has been equated with risk. And that's a cultural problem, right? Creativity is not risk. Creativity is part of the evolution that is necessary for all businesses to grow. So you do that. And then another way to figure out what your branding stands for is go to your audience, go to your customers and ask them what you stand for, right? A big part of what we do is we go and interview the audience. We go and try to find out what they stand for. What's the temperature of the water?
Ah, that's smart. And what are some of the I guess, questions you'd be looking for as you're asking that audience?
The questions we're looking for, well, you know, it's around how they use the brand, how they engage with the brand. I can't really answer that. It depends on the company. It depends on the audience. It depends on the circumstance. You know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out what is the problem and what is the solution, right? The only reason why an audience is going to engage with you is because you're providing a solution for them. You're providing value. And if you're not providing value, then that's a problem. We need to figure out how can you provide better value so over time that value translates to trust. And there you have ultimate audience engagement.
Absolutely. And what would you say to our listeners would be a simple win that they could implement today for their brand to really be able to maximize value and even drive more customers their way?
I would say be absolutely clear as to what your number one value is. And I'm saying this because so many companies talk about what they do, what their services are. And they say, you know, oh, okay, we're like an auto repair shop. Okay, we do motors, we change oil, we change your tires, we'll do windshield wipers, we fill up the gas. They're giving a laundry list of everything they're doing. That's confusing. That is not, that's called value stacking, actually. You're stacking value on value on value on value. All you're doing is that you're overwhelming your user. What you need to do in order to be effective is have your number one entry point. What is the one thing you can say so people can choose you? And then once they've chosen you, yeah, you have all the other services that you do. But provide clarity. Don't have a pitch or an interaction with someone be the opportunity to say every single thing you do, right? So going back to an auto mechanic, for example, is like, we keep your car healthy. Oh, okay, that's one value that we can focus on. And everybody's intelligent. I can imagine what a healthy car means, right? There's a list in there that I can make in my head. That's great. But at least you're not overwhelming me as a user with so much information.
Now I'm curious, what is the one thing that you say to clients? What is that one value that you start with?
The one thing that we say is that business leaders often do not understand the power that marketing and message can bring to their companies. So we solve that.
That is powerful. I really like that one. That's amazing. And I guess for you, how do you kind of come up with these concepts? Like, how do you actually go ahead and figure out that one value? Because I think for most companies, when they look at it, they usually have three or four or five things that they stand for that they're doing. How do you choose the one that matters the most?
Sure. I mean, the one that matters the most is the one that differentiates you the most. Okay. You want the only way, listen, I understand that it's hard to stand out in life. It's hard to make a splash. The only way to do it is to have something interesting to say and be different. Different is remarkable. Different gets noticed because, you know, we as humans, we're trained to ignore things that are common, right? You sit in a chair, you're not thinking about the height of that chair. You just sit in it because all chairs are pretty much the same height, right? There's nothing extra to discover there, right? So same thing with everything else in life. If you have a brand that is too common or isn't differentiating itself enough, then you're losing out. So your number one should be, how am I different? And let's amplify that.
And what sort of results have you seen from branding for yourself? What sort of KPIs have you noticed a big change in, or I guess just what's been your personal experience with it?
With branding for myself, you know, that's a difficult question to answer, but because there's so much to say, it depends on your audience. Once you understand who your audience is, you're able to deliver the right message and the meaning, the right branding. In my particular case, dealing with business owners and entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs have a concept of what branding is. And I'm not there to change that concept. Some of them might believe that branding is as serious as I think it is. Others might believe that branding is just logos and colors. I'm not trying to change their mind on that. So what I do is that I don't mention branding. And I mention problems, solutions that we provide. And that's how I use the magic of messaging to help people notice me.
That's amazing. And what about your clients? Have your clients seen any sort of big wins themselves from going ahead and doing this branding? I guess, what is the one feedback that you would typically get from a client where they do notice a huge change in their business from branding?
Ultimately, there's ROI that branding brings. Some of it's tangible and some of it's intangible for the simple reason that branding is part science, part art. But, you know, we've definitely seen differences. The tangible ones being customer acquisition costs go down, revenue growth, of course. With good branding, you know, you can charge more, you know, you get more loyalty. And ultimately, your organic volume grows and the quality of your leads grow. So those are the tangible things. The intangible things are more like, you know, hey, brand awareness. I mean, you could say there's more brand awareness. It's difficult to put your finger on that. You can run surveys and do some social media listening for that. But then there's other things like employee engagement, the morale around your brand. And then finally, kind of your investor perception, if you will.
That's awesome. And what would you say is the one golden rule in your industry that you know is total BS, but people keep doing anyways?
The golden rule, I guess it's kind of goes to what I was talking about, the need to say everything at the first time you meet somebody, you know, to make sure that people understand that we do video and we do websites and we do this, you know, that value stacking I was talking about before. That's a misconception. People feel that if they don't say everything, that they're missing out, that people are going to misinterpret what they are. That's one thing. The other thing is not looking for a niche market enough. Being a generalist, meaning appealing to any audience, is a very bad message, right? Because when you're a generalist, it doesn't seem like you're an expert in anything. So that's a huge misconception. It's so important for you to find your niche, find your lane, be really good at it, and become that expert that people need and that people will pay top dollar for.
Absolutely. Mark, where can people go to learn more about you?
Our website, consequentlycreative.com. We're also pretty active on Instagram. Also, you can look up Consequently Creative or my name, which is It's Mark Rust. And then after that, I guess you could just Google my name. So it's Mark with a C and then Rust, R-U-S-T.
Amazing. Mark, thank you so much for jumping on here. Really a pleasure to have you here.
Adam, you're welcome. It's been awesome. This is great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. 100%. And guys, if you're listening to this, especially if you're a private equity company, please make sure to click on the link. Go give Mark a look. Because what he's doing for private equity companies is absolutely fantastic. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. I will see you on the next episode.